Greetings, God's beloved. Thanks for listening to the Sermon Podcast from Reformation Lutheran Church in Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Palm Sunday, and our reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, 29 through 44. Blessings and peace be with you this day. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. It is Palm Sunday, and I love this day. And it means we're 1 week closer to Easter, and then Easter vacations. It's spring break. Kids are excited about that. After Easter, our family will be taking a little road trip. We're going to go camping just a couple of hours north of Las Vegas. And never fails, whenever we get into the car, someone will ask, "Are we there yet?" Did you ever hear that question coming from the back seat? Every time. How much longer? We just got in the car. How long do you think it takes? It's like our kids want to know exactly how many seconds it will take to reach the destination, right? And can't stand to be in the car more than 5 minutes. So we reach the end of our street at the first stoplight. I fight the urge to just pull over and respond, "Yes, this is it. We made it. We're here." So, are we there yet? For us all, the excitement has been building for a long time. So many of us have been waiting for what seems like forever. We're asking, are we there yet? We're waiting for the trips, for the gatherings and the parties and the concerts and the festivals, conferences and conventions and live shows and the movies too. I miss that. So we're longing to get back to some kind of life that we remember. Back before the shutdown of 2020, and things are looking better. Nearly one quarter of the people in our county have received at least one dose of a vaccine. Casinos and restaurants are opening with greater capacity. More businesses are hiring. But we're not yet where we want to be. But how will we know when we're there? How will we know when it's really over? How will we know when we can turn the page? It's hard to say. As we wait, we keep doing the things we know how to do. Maybe that's changed. Maybe we used to go grocery shopping once or twice a week, and now you get it picked up on the curbside or delivered to your home. Maybe we used to dine at a restaurant and are now more accustomed to pickup and no contact delivery. So we FaceTime and we Google Hangout and we Zoom with friends and family. We stream new movies and rewatch favorite shows over and over. We worship from home. We do school online and have virtual doctor visits and dream about seeing the people we love face to face. Our world has changed so much in the last 12 months that we may barely recognize it. It's not what we expected. And still, there's plenty struggling to figure out how to live in this new reality too. We're still grieving. We're still afraid. Plenty are still out of work, and young people are struggling to figure out where they fit in, how they can build a life in this new world, pay off student debt, find employment, connect to a community. And there are ones who feel so angry, so isolated, or ashamed of themselves that they would take out their pain on others with a gun in Atlanta, in Boulder, in Virginia Beach. Please, Lord, let this not be our new normal. But we remember that Jesus was also born into a time in history when everything was changing. God's people, centered in the story of salvation, the word of the prophets and the traditions of their ancestors, awaited the coming Messiah, the one who would free them like Moses did, who would overturn the powers of the world, who would bring peace and freedom for all and set things right. Then things would be back to normal. And the new king would ride in majesty with power and authority and strength to topple the powerful, lift up those who had been oppressed and pushed aside. And here comes Jesus. But let's just get it right out there. What's missing in the story we heard today? What did we not hear? That's right, there were no palm branches in this Palm Sunday story. In fact, John's gospel is the only one that specifically mentions palms. But let's not let that ruin our day together. We can still wave them and celebrate. Today, we mark the beginning of Holy Week. And we enter into this story once again. We hear and worship and are mindful of the extent to which God would go to bring us in close once again, bringing us back to where we belong. The palms remind us that this is a special day. But as Jesus approached Jerusalem, at least according to Luke, people didn't need the palms. They stripped off their clothing. Their cloaks were spread all over the road, on the colt and in the roadway, making a path for this anointed one to enter into David's royal city. This was their new king. And they shout, "Hosanna, save us! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace, glory." They knew this was the day of their salvation. They recognized that the Savior had come. But there were those leaders, of course, the Pharisees, with their important voices, and they want the people to stop this. They prefer things just go back to the way they were. And they're afraid, and they think people should just stick to the plan, just follow the rules. Stop upsetting the powers that be, and stop making so much noise. Let's just keep it quiet. But Jesus responds, "I tell you, if these were silent, even the stones would shout out." This is not the time to be silent either. And even if their voices were silenced, the whole creation would cry out. This is the visitation of God, this beginning of the next part of the salvation story. Jesus is riding into Jerusalem, and God will not be prevented from saving, from appearing, from delivering on the promise. So Jesus arrives like royalty, on an animal never ridden before, and the people knew what they were seeing. They recognized that their hope was not in vain. The people knew this was a day for joy, for celebration, for getting out there and seeing what was going on. But those in power, the authorities who were invested in the status quo and the power structure they helped to maintain, chose not to recognize the things that make for peace, to acknowledge the visitation from God in their midst. Have you? Have you seen it? Signs of peace? Things changing? Maybe even for the better? Can we imagine that? I don't know. We get so used to seeing what we've always seen. We get wrapped up in seeing violence, hatred, despair, inequality, that it might be difficult at times to recognize the visitation of God in our lives. We get distracted and detached and isolated and introspective. We turn inward on ourselves and think nothing can be good anymore. But we must remember that Christ's presence is here. It's here. It's in our hearts and it's in the world. And our whole lives are in Christ, just as they always have been. But we lose hope when so much is changing around us and we try to make sense of it and we get afraid too. And what has not changed in our world is our need for peace, for justice, for saving. We long for it, and we await the one who will make us whole again. So I'm praying that in this difficult season, this strange new century, this tumultuous and turbulent year, that we would be ones who recognize the things that make for peace, to recognize the signs of God in the world, to recognize Christ is with us, and that we would recognize the need inside each one of us, that space where we need Jesus to enter in and bring healing. And I pray that each of us would turn whatever deep longing is in us into a prayer, into action, into faithful participation in whatever it is that brings peace for our neighbors and for the world we live in. But what are some of those things? What are the things that make for peace in a community? Dialogue, service, welcome, My friend Kim in the neighborhood recently partnered with local restaurants and cooks and serves over 100 meals a month to families and neighbors experiencing homelessness. For a long time, she had a food pantry outside her home right there on the curb, and neighbors even donated a refrigeration unit and ran an extension cord so they could have a refrigerator out there by the side of the road and feed neighbors. The Just One Project is just down the street from us here, and I've mentioned it before, but there are long lines of cars waiting to pick up groceries, food, and they're feeding hundreds every week just handing out these big boxes. LSSN has expanded. Their new food pantry is open, and more families in our community are receiving the help that they need. They're hiring, and they need more helpers and volunteers, too. If that's something you want to do, let us know. They're handing out boxes of food, helping people find IDs and birth certificates, new housing, and help right here in Las Vegas. And Martin's Mart is still serving here in the heart of the city after how many years? 50 years? A long time. Pat's not here. Hi, Pat. I know you're down there on Fridays. They're also in need of more volunteers. There are great ways to help and to show people there is still good in our city. Christ is still alive in our world, and there are peacemakers among us. But more than that, to recognize the need we all have to be transformed. And we know that transformation is uncomfortable at times, and it's scary at times, so we recognize those feelings too. But to recognize that God is moving, that God is here, riding into our lives and our history. So as we hear the story again this season, we can recognize that something is happening to us. Something old and yet something new. And now and always, Jesus is showing up at our doorstep, in our church, in our community, in our schools, in our workplace. Not hidden, but in plain sight for us to see and to recognize. Sometimes it requires us to pause from our daily routines and our tasks and chores that keep us so busy to take notice, to look up and look around. As we worship, we pause here today to welcome him, to mark the occasion, and to wait in hopeful expectation of what Jesus will do once again. But it's not just today, and it's not just in a church. It's in the world. It's every moment of every day. It belongs to him. So if you know the story, you know that this visitation from God is ongoing, and the spirit of life that is given to each of us in our baptism remains and carries us in this life together. So recognize the good news. Christ has come. Christ will come again. And God's kindness and mercy that began with creation and liberation and continued in the incarnation and the ministry of Jesus remains with us. And you are filled and blessed and sent to live faithfully, knowing that you have been welcomed by the King of Glory. This week, we'll remember this story of his death and be led into the joy of the resurrection of the Savior. Together, we recognize that the love of Jesus remains with you and in you. There's still healing happening in hospitals and homes and in coffee shops and in conversations between people who are struggling to find someone to listen, a friend to confide in, a person to love them as they deserve. Recognize the Spirit. There is new life beginning all around. And live in that hope. There is forgiveness and reconciliation in families and communities. There is growth and change and a vision for a new future where all are included and fed and protected. Recognize Jesus is here. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. Amen. Amen.